The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit led Jesus out into the desert, and he remained there for 40 days, tested by the devil. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. We are very honored and grateful to have Father Jim Marchionda, a Dominican priest, to direct our parish retreat. So please listen to today's reflection by Father Jim.
Hello, I am Father Jim Marchionda, a Dominican from Chicago, provincial of the Dominican Central Province of St. Albert the Great. We cover a territory of 14 states in the Midwest. And I am very happy to be with you for Holy Family Parish Mission 2021. I have a little bit of a history with Holy Family Parish in that in all of the years that I was coming out to Anaheim for the LA Religious Ed Congress workshops and concerts that I did a concert at Holy Family. Maybe 30 years ago now, with your choir and with then-director Francesco Aluruzzo, in case any of you remember him. Although a long time ago, it was a wonderful night, and I remember how wonderful the choir was and the opportunity of preaching to the people of Holy Family. I am very happy to be with you once again, if even virtually. I'm imagining your smiling, holy, receptive faces out there in the church, and I want to assure you that I will give you the best of what I can offer by way of sharing the Word of God with you and some insights on that Word of God. I am with you this morning for the parish masses. I will also be with you this afternoon at 4 o'clock your time, in your Let's Lent Together program. And I will be giving a presentation titled, On the Road to Forgiveness. I will then be with you once again, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings from 7 to 8:30 your time for the 3 nights of parish mission. As a foundation for the mission, we're going to use the theme that you are using throughout all of 2021, which is faith, hope, and love. The title of Monday night's mission is Faith, the Living Saints of God. Tuesday night is Hope, in God I Trust. And Wednesday night is Love, Becoming What We Pray. I want to thank all of you, Holy Family Parish, for welcoming me once again into your faith community. And special thanks to Frank and Don Ponet, who have facilitated and helped me prepare for doing this parish mission. So here we are at the first Sunday of Lent. We are just beginning this magnificent season. And I must admit to you that for me, Lent is a season of profound joy. It's a season of profound joy. I don't perceive it as a season of gloom, as a season of sin and sadness, of sorrow and sacrifice. All of those things are a part of it, and they are a part of our theology. But they are truly part of a theology of joy and hope on the road to salvation. I always think that Lent calls us to a new mindset, a new way of looking at Lent, a new paradigm, so that we can celebrate the salvation that has been won for us. Let me share with you the insight of Sister Diane Bergant. Sister Diane Bergant is a scripture scholar at the Catholic Theological Union here in Chicago, Illinois. One of her reflections about Lent is this: for too long, we have thought that Lent is a time for us to sacrifice our wants and our desires, to give up things in order to devote ourselves to God. The readings for today and for all the Sundays of Lent show us that, in a sense, the opposite is true. This is not a time for us to deny ourselves of something, but a time for us to receive. We are not the ones who are meant to accomplish great things for God. Rather, it is God who acts. It is God who makes the sacrifice. It is God who accomplishes great things for us. The readings for this Sunday provide us with a kind of synopsis of the entire Lenten season. They acknowledge that we are living in the midst of conflict. They sketch God as initiating a relationship with us even in the midst of this conflict. And then they end with a proclamation of the good news of salvation. This is why I believe this season is profoundly joyful in reminding us of the gift of salvation to which we are invited and in which we were baptized. I have to share with you something that Pope Emeritus Benedict said at the Dominican House in Rome, our world headquarters of Santa Sabina on the Aventine Hill in Rome. I don't know if you know this, but every year for centuries, the popes begin the season of Lent with the Dominicans. The popes begin the season of Lent coming to Santa Sabina in Rome and preaching on Ash Wednesday and distributing ashes. Now, I was sure when I first heard that it was because the Dominicans were clearly the most important priests in the world. Since becoming provincial, I've come to realize it's more probably because we need the most help that the Pope starts the season of repentance with the Dominicans. About 15 years ago, when Pope Benedict was preaching at Santa Sabina on Ash Wednesday, he finished proclaiming the gospel, and then he said to the people gathered there, he said, "The season of Lent is that season where Christians all over the world have the opportunity to embrace the absolute certainty of God's love." Listen to that. It's the season where we get to embrace the absolute certainty of God's love. Again, that's why it is a season of great, great hope, of great joy. Even though we do penitential practices, we, through them, are embracing the absolute certainty of God's love. Now, that absolute certainty comes to us very clearly in the readings this year for the first Sunday of Lent. In the book of Genesis, following the flood, we hear God speaking to Noah. And in speaking to Noah, God is speaking to the entire world. And God is saying to Noah, "I will never again cause such harm among the people of earth. I will never again bring such harm. I promise you that. And as a sign of my promise, I will put this ark in the sky, the rainbow. It will be the sign of my covenant with you, that even when it rains, you need not fear again that there will be a flood. I promise you, it will never happen again. And that ark, God says to Noah, will also be a reminder to me that I am not a God of anger, but I am a God of salvation. It's a wonderful dialogue today between God and Noah, where God sets down the rules of the covenant, promising for God's part, He will always have our backs. He will always love us. He will always desire to protect us from harm. The first reading today from Genesis is God establishing and re-establishing order in the entire universe. That reading then flows beautifully into the second reading that you heard from the first letter of St. Peter, where St. Peter recounts the fact that Jesus Christ has been so significant in our lives, and that the flood waters in Noah and in Genesis prefigured the baptismal waters into which you and I were made part of the Christ. The very opening of the second reading from St. Peter, he says, Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous, for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. And then he reminds us that after his death, which you and I know, after his death, he went to retrieve the sinners who had died in the waters of the flood. He descended into hell. Don't we say that in our creed? He descended into hell, and on the third day, he rose again. He went into hell to retrieve the sinners who had been lost. Which for me, my friends, like God's promise to Noah in the first reading, is a sign that God never gives up on us. Never. God will never give up on you, even when you sin. Sin is our slamming the door in God's face. Salvation is God's opening that door again and again and again. The first two readings today present us with this joy of salvation that comes to us on the very first Sunday of the season of Lent. Now, that joy is not without some challenge. We know that. We are realistic, right? That joy is not without challenge. And we have, on the first Sunday of Lent every year, we have an account of the temptations of Jesus in the desert. This year, we have the account of St. Mark, which is the shortest of the three cycle accounts. The other two accounts are from Matthew's Gospel and from Luke's Gospel. And you know what the temptations are all about. You know that the first temptation is Jesus is fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Obviously, he's starving. And so the devil takes advantage of his vulnerability. And he goes up to him in his hunger and he says, you know what? If you wanted to, you could turn these stones into bread. You wouldn't have to stay hungry. And Jesus says to him, it is said that man does not live on bread alone. You know that. And the devil says, doggone it, I thought I had him because he was so hungry. So he goes on to a second temptation and he takes him to the parapet of the temple. And he says, throw yourself down from this temple because scripture says God will send his angels after you to lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus says to him, the scriptures also say, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then, of course, the third temptation is he takes him to the highest mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, these are all mine to give and I will give them to you. You will have the power if you prostrate yourself before me and worship me. And Jesus says to him, it is said that you shall worship God alone, and God alone shall you serve. and the devil, totally frustrated, leaves him. We know those temptations, and we know that they're temptations very similar to the kinds of temptations you and I endure all the time. We know what it's like. It's God's way of showing us that Jesus knows what we go through. And Jesus went through all of the same temptations you and I have to endure. And it also shows us that there is a way through the temptations by leaning on the Word of God, by never letting go of the Word of God, and never letting go of our embrace on the absolute certainty of God's love. There is a way to survive the temptations, just as Jesus did. In Mark's account that we receive this Sunday, it's the shortest of the three accounts, and it doesn't illuminate all of those temptations that I just shared with you. It just says that the Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, where he was tempted by Satan. And he was there for 40 days. It was like it was a rite of purification before sending him out on his special mission. And although he was tempted by Satan, he fended him off because God's angels were there to protect him. It's very short, that gospel that you just heard. But then it doesn't stay with the temptations as the other two do. And where the other two give us hope because we know Jesus went through exactly what we go through, this gospel this year moves us further than the temptations, beyond our ability to transcend them ourselves, into the meaning of mission. Mark's gospel moves us from temptations in the desert into the direction and meaning and power and purpose of having a mission. And it says Jesus returned to Galilee and he began to preach after John was arrested. So John is now in prison, and so Jesus takes center stage. Jesus begins to preach, and he preaches the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, that this is the time of fulfillment, and challenges the people to repent and believe the gospel, to repent and to believe this joyful, joyful gospel of how much God loves you and how much God wants to honor and promote this beautiful covenant of relationship with you. My friends, this year, the first Sunday of Lent 2021, we receive the powerful Word of God. It's all about God's saving action. First, as we witness it with Noah and the beautiful covenant promise to him, and then as we witness it, reminded by Peter, of Christ's saving event in our lives. The readings are all about God's saving action, a saving action that calls for a response. It calls for a response, and that's what Lent is all about at its heart. We are the saved, my friends. Catholics aren't so used to saying that, are we? You are saved. We are the saved, having been saved. What responsibilities do we now have? Having been saved, what are our obligations in this covenant relationship? Please, people of Holy Family, please join me for this year's parish mission, and we will try to sketch some answers to these questions. God bless you all.